We are hours before, just a few hours away from 2026. And I don't know why, but 2026 sounds easier to say than 2025 already. Now writing it down might be different. but looking forward to the next year. And as we do, we want to certainly live for the Lord and have a life that would honor and please Him. And here we find some thoughts on that. 1 Peter chapter 3, of course, the scriptures all through has thoughts on that, but some specific ideas here in chapter 3, verses 8 to verse 12. That's where we want to be. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to verse 12. Let's go ahead and read this together, shall we? Verse 8, we'll start in verse 8, and let's just read down to verse 12 together, all the verses there, and then we'll pray, and then we'll continue on. So 1 Peter 3, starting in verse 8, down to verse 12, let's begin. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. Contrary wise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, and the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Would you like to love life and see good days in the next 12 months? Or in the next week? Well, God says, I've got an answer for you, and He's got several things here in this short passage that we'd like to look at tonight. And we're going to plan to go through all of them. If it takes till midnight, praise the Lord. We'll ring in the new year together, but I don't think it will. But I would like some help with some of these other passages. After I pray, we'll ask for some volunteers to help with that. We want to look at loving life and seeing good days in 2026 and how God can use us, maybe in the lives of others, as well as draw closer to Him. Heavenly Father, thank You that You love us. You brought us here. It's no accident we're here tonight, dear Lord. And as we've already heard, Father, that these things that You bring in our life or allow in our life, they're there to help us think of You and to glorify You and maybe reach out to somebody else too, to point them to Christ and help us, Lord, to see Your ways in our life. We ask, God, that You'd use the scriptures tonight, speak to us in a very special way, that the Holy Spirit would have freedom to speak to our heart, Lord. We would not have anything in keeping Him from speaking to us tonight. So we pray for that even as well. May You get the glory through all things said and done now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who would look up Luke chapter 10, verse 35? So we're going to start passing these out. Daryl's got that one. Thank you. How about Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32? And Vicki's going to read that. Thank you. Then how about 1 Peter 2, just a page over or so, verses 21 to 23. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 23. How about Brother Doug's got that one? And Leland, Ephesians 4, 29, okay? You can read that one for us. Proverbs 12, verse 17. Who would read Proverbs 12, 17? All right. Trenton, thank you. Then we have James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Who would like to read that for us? My wife will do that. Thank you. And then Grace. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Thank you. All right, let's take a look here. We're in 1 Peter 3, verse number 8. Says this, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. By the way, this is all one paragraph, verses 8 through 12. That is a paragraph in Scripture, and here we have it out in verses, of course. But verse 8 tells us that we are to love the family of God. That's the title, that's the thought there in Roman numeral 1. Love the family of God. It's a lot easier to deal with family if you love them. even if they don't always do what they're supposed to do, like you, right? No, the truth of the matter is none of us always do what we're supposed to do. And that's where love, even the Bible tells us, love covers what? A multitude. Now, not just a couple, but a multitude. And on our stead as well. That's why God desires us to love one another. Be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Here's a couple thoughts as we look at that. Let's keep our finger here and go to Philippians chapter 2. Would you go there, please? Philippians chapter number 2. And we read of the mind of the Lord Jesus there. And still working out some sticky pages here. Philippians chapter 2. How do we love the family of God? Well, Philippians 2 gives us some thoughts here. I'm going to start in verse number 3 and read down to verse number 5. Here's what it says. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And let me continue on. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Here's one way that we can love the family of God is by submitting to the mind of Jesus Christ. Submitting to the mind of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 5. It doesn't say work towards this mind. It doesn't say, you know, it's going to come upon you and all of a sudden like a robot, you'll start thinking like Jesus. It says let. What does let mean? It means let it happen. It means let Jesus, the mind of Jesus, fulfill your heart and mind. But that has to start with the verses we looked at already. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And he goes on in earlier in verse in the chapter, talking about consolation, comfort, etc., with one another. These are all things God says to strive and be willing to submit to the mind of Jesus Christ. And what was in his mind? Humility. Humility. That's what is this whole passage about. As God himself, he humbled himself and became in the likeness of man. And in that, he went unto what? As a servant, he went unto death, the Bible says, which was something he never had to deal with, but he chose for our good to receive salvation through him. So submit to the mind of Jesus Christ. That's one way to love the family of God. Luke chapter 10, verse 35, gives us another clue on how we can love the family of God. Okay, thank you very much. Luke chapter 10, anybody remember the parable Jesus was sharing there in Luke chapter 10? He was kind of finishing it up there. The Good Samaritan, yeah, where the Bible tells us that others had passed by this man who was nearly beaten to death by thieves, and yet the Samaritan, who was considered not worthy to be in the presence of Jewish people, they were prejudiced against them in a very strict way, and yet Jesus gave this parable, which I think was a real story. I think it was true. The way he talked about it, he talked about a certain Samaritan. A lot of times when you see that word certain, you know, he's referring perhaps to somebody specific. But he was willing to sacrifice. That's the blank. He was willing to sacrifice and share compassion, which was his compassion, alongside this man. So that's what God desires for us to do, be willing to sacrifice. He says in verse 8, having compassion one of another, sacrifice alongside each other. There's an old phrase, don't give God what's left, give him what's right, which means that could mean losing something that I found valuable or find valuable in my life so that it can be a help to somebody else as God lays on my heart. Whatever that might be, God says he wants us to sacrifice and share compassion alongside each other. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32 gives us another clue about having love for the family of God.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Okay, thank you very much. Here that last verse says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as who? As God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Here's another way to love the family of God, by treating each other as God treats us, as God treats us. And he does. The Bible says he loves us, he forgives us, he blesses us. And he says some practical ways there earlier in the verses there to do that is put the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, etc., evil speaking, get that out. He says with all malice, that means with determination, with an actual grit and determination kind of idea. Malice can also mean with a hardness, but here it means simply we want to hurry up and get it done, get rid of it. And then replace it with the kindness, the tenderheartedness that God shares with us. Love the family of God. That's easy to do, right? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. But as I read the Bible, it doesn't matter whether it's easy or hard. God says to do it. God says to do it. We want to see good life, love life, and see good days. He says love the family of God. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. Take a look here, verse number 9 again. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And then he goes on to say, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Love the clean tongue. Love the clean tongue. And you might say, well, I don't swear, I don't cuss, and maybe a thought comes to my mind, but man, I never let it go out of my mind. Well, you know, God doesn't ever say, don't use this four-letter word, or have some of the vulgar words that are in our culture today. That's not in Scripture. But he does say, mind the tongue. Mind the tongue. That is a huge part of living a life that is pleasing to God and that has good in his sight as well. He says to love the clean tongue. Verse number 9 gives us a clue on some things we need to do in order to do that. And he says in verse 9, first of all, not rendering evil for evil. A clean tongue does not cry out for revenge. Revenge. Romans chapter 12. Let's go there. Romans chapter 12. Would you turn there with me, please? And we'll read these together. A clean tongue does not cry out for revenge. Verse number 19. And why not? Some people deserve it, right? Well, let's see what God has to say about it. Chapter 12, we're looking at verse number 19. Would you read these verses with me? Verse 19 through 21. Here we go. Let's read them together, please. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, does he say here in this passage to call evil good, so that we can somehow get along? No, he does not. In fact, he says, you can recognize the evil and even bring it to the Lord to point it out. But he says here, in order to combat the evil, what does he tell us to do? Overcome it with good. Overcome it with good. The vengeance belongs to the Lord, and he knows how to take care of those things. But he tells the Christian that the clean tongue does not cry out for revenge. And there's certainly situations that you could bring up scenarios that are truly hurtful, truly damaging. And yet God says, would you put it in my hands? Would you put it in my hands? Not to excuse evil or say that it's not evil anymore, but that God has a hand in things too and give him an opportunity. A clean tongue does not cry out for revenge. A clean tongue does not speak despitefully. He goes on in verse 9, railing for railing. 1 Peter chapter 2 gives us some more thought on that, verse 21 to 23.
For even here unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
You think you could do what Jesus did? Falsely accused. There's no doubt they're going to execute you. And yet the Bible says that even as they were hurling these accusations at him, even as he was being hit on and spit upon and so forth and dragging his cross to where he would be executed on Calvary, the Bible says he reviled not again. You and I can't do that without him. Without him. It is impossible to do that without surrendering our life to him. And God says, listen, you need a clean tongue, but remember, you need to submit to the Lord Jesus. A clean tongue does not speak despitefully. Now, we don't deal with that. You know, most of us will never see that kind of persecution, but we do have things that are said, and we have to make a decision. Are we going to do what Jesus did, or are we going to respond maybe with the way the world says, you know, you can't talk to me like that. You don't deserve that. No, God says, why don't you try my way and see what happens? Ephesians 4, verse 29. Leland's going to read that for us.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Okay, very good. A clean tongue does bless, that's the blank, does bless others. Here in 1 Peter 3, it says, knowing that you should, thereunto a call, there you should inherit a blessing, talking about the tongue, verse 9, but contrarywise, blessing, be a blessing to others. And the way we bless others, according to Ephesians 4, 29, edify, what does that mean? It means to fill or build, etc. When we edify ourselves at dinner time, we're filling our belly. We're trying to fill the need to continue on for the day with some strength. But edification spiritually and through our words can help build and strengthen. Not flatter. That's not what edifying is. Edifying is building to the point where we're trying to help somebody else draw closer to Christ. Here's how we do it. Let me encourage you. In the Lord, you're doing great. You're on the right path. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. You know, let's continue on. Blessing. Then letter D, a clean tongue is honest and truthful. Honest and truthful. Again here, let's see. Verse 10, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Proverbs 12, verse 17 talks about, gives us some thought on that too.
He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceiveth.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, sometimes we say things that, wait a minute, that's not right. I didn't know about that, or maybe we misspeak. A lot of times preachers will say they put David in the lion's den, and man, folks are just right on, look, he's not in the lion's den. Well, sometimes we do misspeak, not because we're truthfully trying to deceive, but those things happen. This is not what it's talking about. This is deceit with purpose. Guile is deceiving with a purpose to benefit me. I'm going to deceive you with a purpose that you'll benefit me. And Proverbs, of course, and all kinds of other scriptures tell us that condemns that kind of motivation and that kind of talk. And he tells us here in 1 Peter 3, a clean tongue is honest and truthful. Honest even when it doesn't always come out to benefit us. Honest, honest. I heard somebody tell me the other day, just today, somebody found some treasure in a house that they sold them, and I won't name any names, but the new owner found some treasure in there, and the new owner could have kept it and never told anybody and gone down to the coin place or whatever it was and get money for it. But the new owners decided, you know what, this doesn't belong to us, and we know it. We didn't put it here, and it's not ours. Let's give it back and let the old owner take care of that. That's honest and truthful. When no one else could have found out, and maybe it could have benefited them financially, and yet they made an honest decision. So praise the Lord for people like that. Amen? Amen. And God says, you need to be, I need to be that type of person, to love the clean tongue. Let's look at verse 11. Verse 11, we're continuing on, loving life, seeing good days. Verse 11 tells us to love, here's the blank, righteous behavior. Love righteous behavior. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Proverbs 3, let's go there. You probably know verse 5 and 6. Do you know verse 7? Do you know verse 7? Let's find out. Proverbs 3. And would you read these verses with me? They're pretty well-known verses. Well, let's read them together, but verse 7. Maybe we don't remember that one. Let's read it together, please. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Avoid evil. Here's one way. Proverbs encourages us, other scripture does, by trusting God instead of prideful self. Prideful self. What does the Bible tell us about our own heart? It is wicked and deceitful. Not quite as bad as the person next to us, but not quite as bad as the person I know who, you know, they're pretty rough. No, it says it's wicked and deceitful above all things. God says, listen, get your mind off your wisdom, your heart, turn to me. It doesn't mean he won't show us what to do and we have a decision to make, but he certainly says, start with me first. Start with me first. Avoid evil by trusting God instead of prideful self. Do good, let her be. It always agrees with God. Did I hand out Psalm 37? I don't think I did. Let's go there too. Psalm 37, and I'll read it for us. Psalm 37, verses 23 to 25 here. Here we go. Verse 23 to verse 25 says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Excuse me. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Do good, it always agrees with God. The Bible says, first of all, goodness is defined by God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's the one who determines which is the good step and which is the wrong one. Let him do that and show you. The Bible tells us that to do good is a delight for the Christian. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. How many would rather be held by the Lord's hand than anybody else's hand? Yeah, God is good that way. He loves you, he loves me, and he reminds us. By the way, that doesn't mean that nobody else should help. If God might bring someone along and say, listen, This is the guy I sent to you, or the gal I sent. Don't turn down help that I send. But it is delight for the Lord, for Christians, to do good for him as God helps us. And then, look at this, verse number 25. This is an interesting verse. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Doing good sets an example to other generations. Doing good sets an example to other generations. We need generations to see that living for God is a good thing. Amen. In fact, it's not only good, it's the best thing. It's the best thing in everything that we do, in our personal life, in our work life, in our spiritual life, in our family life. Living the way God says is the best way, and it will always be the best. Sadly, we have a lot of young people growing up and not hearing what is good according to God. They hear what's good according to the culture or according to whatever else is out there, but not according to God. Hey, God can use you and me to help teach them or show them this is the best way. Do good. It always agrees with God. Then he says in 1 Peter, let's take a look there once more again, please. 1 Peter 3, verse 11. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Seek peace and ensue it, which means pursue it. Pursue it. James 3, verse 17 and 18 gives us a thought on seeking and pursuing peace.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
So what does God, would he rather have us do? To divide or to bring peace? According to those verses and Matthew 5, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. He desires us to make peace. Not at the behest of losing what's good and right, but certainly with a desire to have peace, even amongst ourselves and certainly amongst others. James is written to believers in Christ. It's written to the church, and it's something God says we need to pursue. But how do we find out how to do it? What's the first part of that verse? Would you read it, verse 17 again? The wisdom from above. The wisdom that is from above. By the way, he tells us how we can find out the wisdom from above. Certainly the main way is through God's word, but what's another way he tells us in James? Ask for wisdom, because he gives it out liberally, meaning he's got lots of it to give and he's ready to share.
Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts.
and let him return, comes the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, that sounds like we're back on there. Thank you. Pray for, or I should say, pray in, that should be in, repentance, and pray for restoration. Repentance is, I see what God says, he's right, I'm wrong, and I need to recognize that. Then God says in the New Testament, what should we do with the sin we have? Confess it before him. And then he says in Isaiah 55, pray for restoration, that God would restore our fellowship with him. Prioritize time to pray. Other things to pray for are found in Hebrews 4. Would you go there with me, please? Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll finish with this. And let's finish this together. We looked at this last night at our deacon's meeting, and I love these verses. Man, they are helpful, and I trust they'll be a help to us here tonight. Verses 14 through 16, would you read those with me? Let's begin. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What does God say you can expect as we call on his name in the name of Christ? As we come to him boldly, he says, here's some things you can see me do. Pray for God's mercy and grace while meeting needs. Mercy and grace while meeting needs. Whose needs? Anybody we bring before him. Ours? Somebody else's? The missionaries we're going to pray for tonight, they are asking prayer for these things. We all have things in life that we're asking the Lord for help for, personally and others. Love, righteous behavior includes prioritizing prayer. I hope 2026 will be a great year, don't you? I'm planning for some good things, planning and praying, but it has to start with some thoughts in mind that we're going to do it God's way. We're going to do it God's way, and we need reminded of that too. We need reminded of that. Let's go ahead and pray for these things that we have on our list, and then we'll be dismissed. Happy New Year if I don't get a chance to talk with you before you head out, but God bless you. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.